anyway, so let me know any of you guys' feedback. I'm just going to briefly go over. Do you guys know that, how do you guys think we prepare food? Not necessarily prepare it, but how do we prep for, how do we menu plan? Do you guys have any idea how, as a school district, we have to menu plan?
Doesn't there have to be like a fruit, a grain, or are you following guidelines?
Yes. Yes. So we are on, the school district has applied for and the state has granted us, we are on the National School Lunch Program, the NSLP program, and the SBP program, which is the school breakfast program. We also do the after school snacks for clubs, and that is after school snack 21st century, so we do snacks for them as well. We are funded by the government, the USDA and the ADE, and they dictate everything that we do. Everything. I even have a recipe for water. Bottled water and tap water. So we are funded by the government. We actually have sodium requirements, fat requirements, calorie requirements. We have daily and weekly that we have to follow. And then it's also by grade group. So not only do we have it by meal program, but we also have it by grade group. I have about seven different menus that I have to build every single month. We have a breakfast menu for elementary. We have a breakfast menu for secondary, which is middle school and high school, and I have a Sacred Heart breakfast menu. We also have a Sacred Heart lunch menu. I have an elementary lunch menu. I have a Mile High and a Granite Mountain lunch menu, and I have a high school menu, as well as an after school snack menu. So I am the one that creates those menus every single month, and I follow guidelines that we have to follow. A lot of this stuff that's being passed around right now, we have fruit and veggie requirements that we have to meet every week and every day. We have to make sure that we have a red orange vegetable on the menu every day. I'm sorry, once a week. We have to make sure we have a leafy green vegetable on the menu once a week. I have to have beans on the menu once a week, starchy. And then, did I forget it? and then, of course, you know, we have to have milk, two different kinds of milk and all of that kind of stuff. So I have to take all of that stuff into consideration as I'm building my menus every week. Now, I'm lucky enough I have a menu program. Some districts, smaller districts, may not have a menu program, and we have these weekly menu planner things that we have to follow, so it gives you the guidelines and everything here. So if you don't have a menu program, you can use these. The ADE has a lot of material and stuff, a lot of this stuff that I printed out that tells you about the meal patterns that we have to do, the different, what designates a serving size for a vegetable or a fruit or something like that. So there's a lot that goes into it.
I have a question.
Sure.
Do all school districts have to use USDA guidelines? Is that, or only the ones that have a lunch program?
Yes. If you follow the National School Lunch Program, if you follow any of the state's USDA or ADE's guidelines, you have to, yes, you have to follow those. If you don't want the reimbursement from the state, you don't have to enroll in the program. Okay. You can just do your own and do whatever you want.
So if you're not a Title I school that has lower income students, or if you don't qualify for that, you can do your own program?
Yes. Yeah. Any school district can opt in or out of the National School Lunch Program. Okay. Now, there are some menus right here. I printed out all of the menus except the after school snack ones and Sacred Heart, because I figured we didn't know what those were. But I have breakfast menus, lunch menus, secondary, all of that stuff here if you want to take a look at them. These are all menus. If you want to, as we move through this, you're more than welcome to take any of these sheets if you want to play with it. You want to give me any kind of suggestions or anything like that, I am open to
to any suggestions that you guys might have.
Okay.
I also have a smart snack one here. We are also, too, our snacks that we serve during the day have to also meet NSLP or you know, USDA guidelines for calories and sugar and all of that kind of stuff. There's a pamphlet running around here that has some of those on it.
Mm-hmm.
Information you actually want,
yeah,
you know, or if you just want to, you know, just have a casual round table and we can talk about whatever it is, you know, as it
Absolutely.
Relates to the menus that you guys want to.
Yeah. So I would love to hear feedback from all of you, but since Rhett's got to leave soon, I did want to value your time and see what you had to say. And if you just have any questions, and obviously any feedback is welcome, whether it's positive, negative, we're all here for it. We want to make our school meals healthier for kids.
My kiddo definitely eats in the cafeteria, probably more than not. It is an ease thing as much as anything, because it's just easy to send him. And I've come, Lincoln does lunch with a loved one, so I've come and I've eaten with him too. And my only feedback would be, like, he loves it, but I would just, and I know, like, you are totally bound to your guidelines, and there's so many rules and regulations that I don't know about, but I just, like, he told me the other day he had a cinnamon roll for lunch, and I was like, like, and like the chocolate milk every day. I just wish, because I went to Miller Valley School a million years ago. Yes. And I feel like some of these lunch items are similar to what I used to eat as a kid. So I just, I guess my wish as a parent would be that maybe some healthier options, but I don't really know what that looks like for you. Like, I don't know how you get the food that you do. But, you know,
so
that being said.
Did he tell you what else we had with
it? And I know what else. No, he doesn't. He's.
We had chili with it.
Oh, okay.
And it's a weird recipe.
It's a Colorado.
That's a weird
thing.
Oh, yeah.
Chili in a cinnamon roll?
It's a Colorado Midwestern thing. Yeah. Huh.
I love it.
Yeah. Interesting.
I had somebody help me with my menus for March, and I called him up and I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And he did say it's a Midwest thing.
That's so funny.
I didn't have it in the Midwest.
We also have a banana dog.
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Banana dog.
Yes.
Like a hot dog with a banana in it?
Yes.
No
the,
way.
The kids love it. I haven't served it this year, but take a hot dog bun and a banana, and you put, I've been having a hard time getting peanut butter, but you put peanut butter on it and jelly, and then.
We do banana and peanut butter at my house.
That makes more
jelly
sense.
Jelly
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it's like a hot.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
They love it.
Oh, I bet.
And
That's
this
great.
Salad bar is great. You know, but I think part of it too for me is like my first grader isn't going to choose the mm-hmm. things that I would have him choose,
right, yeah,
which is
right.
the whole point of why he likes it. I'm not hovering over
yeah.
him.
Well, my
yeah,
my
for sure.
my son was the same way because I when he would I don't eat like that at home.
don't have chocolate milk. I don't have
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
make cinnamon rolls. We make them from scratch.
Yeah, chili.
Yeah. Just so you just so you know, we can as a parent, we can notate any child's account if you don't want them to have chocolate milk.
Right.
I had to do that.
You're like, be so sad. I know. I'd be on the bad mom list.
Sorry. He would end up in the nurse's office every day because he'd eat Cocoa Puffs and chocolate milk. The nurse would call me and she's like, "Your son's in the nurse's office again." And I put him on the phone. Hey, what did you have for breakfast?
Yeah. Like,
no chocolate milk at breakfast.
Totally.
You know, but that's the constant struggle for me since I do the menus is to give parents what they want.
Totally.
But still give the kids
make
what
it kid
they
friendly.
They're totally so that's why you know I try and I do have brunch for lunch sometimes where we have cinnamon rolls but you know
and he loves the chicken and waffles
yes.
so he's waffles. Happy yeah I mean that would be my only
okay. I mean that's a good point that you bring up Brett like I'm curious Amy like how do you navigate that balance of like providing only healthy options so that the kids don't have the option to get the cinnamon roll or the cookie, you know, like what, how would you balance that?
So at the elementary level, what I try and do is I try and serve at least like two. So we serve three different kinds of cereal every day. And I try and make at least one of those cereals, a non-sugary one as best I can. You know, Honey Nut Cheerios or, you know, something like that that's lower in sugar that, you know, the kids could eat. And then I try and make, like, I try and have eggs at least twice a week
mm-hmm.
on the menu. And then we usually have either a parfait or a smoothie once a week. So that's a third kind of healthy meal item. And then I know it's not as healthy, but, like, pancake on a stick or something like that, something a little less sugary and has some protein in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I try and balance that. I usually have the kids like the grab and go stuff. They don't want to wait.
Right.
So that's the stuff that as a parent we find less healthy. Yeah. So I try and have at least one grab and go thing and then another something that we would all classify as more nutritious
mm-hmm.
than the child does. So I try and put both on there.
Yeah.
You know, so at least they have the choice.
Mm-hmm.
I like the choices, even though we sometimes make the unhealthy choices. They know that there are choices, and it's laid there for them. And as they get older, they
make the better
gravitate more towards maybe what you do at home.
Yeah, and he does. He's like, "Mom, I got vegetables today." So you know, I mean, it's not always, but
that's the for me. That's my biggest struggle. Is giving the kids what they want, but then still providing that healthy choice.
Right. Because, like, as parents, we're responsible for, like, making sure that our kids have those healthy choices.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is a hard balance. Is there anything that you all would like to see more of on the school menu? Any ideas for fun meal ideas that the kids might like?
When I was growing up, we had our pizza was a triangle pizza. It was this square shape, a rectangle shape pizza. Do you remember those? Sausage and it had some fennel on it or something.
Mm.
I did not like that fennel. When we ate that pizza, but it was different. It was more bread. It was kind of more bread.
It was a little, if I remember, it was like crackery.
Oh.
It's like the Tony's. Do you guys ever eat those Tony's pizzas? I used to eat those when I was younger because they were like 99 cents.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Right.
Me too. Yeah.
So.
And those, like, what do they call them? Pizza bowls or something? Those are popular. Lunchables.
Lunchables. Yeah. College days.
Yeah.
$1.29.
I don't know. I know that as somebody who cares about the environment, I would like to see us have cardboard trays instead of styrofoam trays.
And I've seen that, I've seen that in other school districts. It's possible for sure.
And I think that's probably something that is not just up to you.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Like just
cost. Yeah.
I think that if we're talking about keeping with the Paris Accords, I think that.
it should, well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do you never use plastic trays? Is that not a thing? Like reusable?
Oh, yeah, we used to use plastic trays.
So we used to, but it's room and then staffing, labor.
Yeah.
Running
all those through.
Yeah. Yeah.
But perhaps, like, we could figure out a donation campaign. Because, like, we do get donations from what I've heard for parents and community members that just, like, want to zero out a student's balance, which is really generous. Oh. Are you seeing that as much anymore after post-pandemic, you know?
Not so much anymore.
Yeah.
Taylor Hicks has always been really good. Their parents have been really good with... we actually have an account set up that they can put money into, and then the manager there, at her discretion, moves it into
certain students' accounts. That's nice.
So, but otherwise, we always get right around tax season a couple of phone calls.
Something, yeah.
But it has gone down.
For sure, for sure.
The last couple of years.
And I know it mentions it in the wellness policy, but like, how would SFE go about helping with fundraisers? Are they allowed to?
For what?
Are they allowed to fundraise? Is SFE allowed to fundraise? Like,
as far as I know, for like the district?
Yeah, like if we wanted to fundraise for cardboard food trays or for, I don't know, like a smoothie bike or something. Yeah.
Right. If we're going to change over, it has to be a constant source.
Right.
Probably, yeah. Just shorts for.
Totally.
Yeah.
Need a long-term solution. Right.
I mean, I guess we don't have room in staff for
this. This is one of the smaller lunchrooms in the district.
Yeah, it was like, it would be like a good pilot project to just do one place.
Yeah, they serve about 300 kids here a day.
Gosh. Yeah. You think about the styrofoam.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's crazy.
Right. I mean, that was one thing that Amy and I were talking about earlier is like, we could do so much more with funding, but I was looking at grants this week and I came across one.
Is that the one you sent me?
Yeah, the one that I sent you.
I started to look at it.
USDA Team Nutrition Grant. It looks really exciting. I don't know if we would get it, like the chances of us getting it, because apparently they only award 5 to 10 schools in the nation.
In the nation.
I think some of it has to do with free and reduced. Does some of
it
have to
do? I don't think so. But anyways, it would be like, if you got it, it'd be up to $1 million and it would be over 3 years. A lot of different initiatives, but one thing that it did allow was
nutritional education.
Yeah, it's focused on nutritional education, but one thing that it did allow was personnel. And so if we were able to get like a nutrition educator, or what did you mention before?
A wellness
coordinator, like the staff, you know? I know. I'm looking out for grants like that because it definitely could help with our nutrition education effort. And that's the whole thing about the Farm to School program is that we're like trying to educate students to make healthy choices, trying to get them excited about incorporating fruits and vegetables into their diet. And instead of picking out a cinnamon roll, they might pick out like a watermelon radish, you know, because that might be more exciting. So, one of these days, right?
I haven't really looked at the menu, but I always think of that thing of parenting, like, so pizza, the kids gravitate to that. But can you do the things parents do, like sneak veggies on pizza? Can you put spinach on pizza? I mean, you don't even taste it. When
right.
You start mixing things in, the kids don't even.
You know what's funny?
I don't know.
The short answer is yes, but they look at it. I put parsley on it for color and to make it look pretty.
What about like smoothies? You could like blend.
That's a lot easier at the higher levels, the elementary levels.
Like putting spinach in smoothies.
Yeah. Right. We have a pineapple banana spinach smoothie, I think. Yeah. We have one that has sun butter and cocoa powder in it too. It's bananas. It's really good.
Yeah. So be the like devil's advocate about the unhealthier stuff. I teach sped and like a lot of my kids have safe foods and like sensory needs and I will say that there are plenty of options for my kiddos, like
I have one kid who like will only eat tortilla chips and french fries, and I'm right. like, well, yeah. french fries with lunch today. But yeah. like it is nice that they have, like, especially for the kids with that safe food or, you know, sensory needs. And then in SPED it's also like really common with, like, you know, color version. I won't eat anything that's orange and stuff. So it's nice that they have that choice. Yeah. Although, you know, sometimes it does kill me when I see my kid, like, or one of my kids come in with, like, you know, he eats a bunch of, you know, cereal or something, and then at lunch he goes with, you know, the least healthy option. I'm like, but hey, they gotta eat.
At least, yeah, they gotta get some food in them, right? Yeah,
I think
for
that,
sure.
That's true.
I was just gonna say that, yeah, I mean, that's very much along the lines of what we try to teach in the classroom within our education, that no food is bad.
Yeah.
Obviously, food is calories, it's energy, it's what we need. So we're not trying to, you know, make anybody feel bad about their food choices, but we, like, definitely want to give those options of letting them make that nutritious choice and having them understand why it's important for our bodies to have nutrients, right. you know. So I guess, yeah, I mean, that's our standpoint, wherever you can also sneak it in. Like, seriously, yesterday with my own husband, I'm like, this is how you, like, get some veggies in your, like, I had made spaghetti, and I just put a, like, a bed of spinach underneath my spaghetti, and guess what? Every time I eat a, like, have a spoonful of spaghetti, I'm getting the spinach, too. So, I mean, I try to eat healthy, and I'm very aware, and blah, 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 but just, like, yeah, really thinking of how to get those. A while ago, I started making turkey tacos. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was always ground beef, but he loves a turkey tacos. And, you know, I mean, you're just thinking of less fat. You're still adding all that flavor. Just in those ways, like, just getting those nutrients into these kids' bodies, because this is sometimes, as we know, the healthiest meal that they're going to get throughout their whole day.
Right. Especially here at Lincoln.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So being sneaky, finding those tricky ways. I was overhearing Amy talk to her staff when we were, like, doing the taste test about, like, how they organized the vegetables on the salad bar a certain way, and, like, the way they organized it, like, led to them eating way more of, like, the more nutritious options on there.
What was the trick? So she was telling me that they weren't eating the lettuce mix.
And she had on the salad bar. And I asked her, you know, I had her set it, I said, set it up how you're going to serve it. And she set it up, and she put the lettuce mix first. And then, so she put the lettuce mix, and I'm just trying to think, it was like lettuce mix, carrots, celery, and then she put the fruit down at the end, thinking that the kids would look at this stuff first, go past this, and then get the popular stuff. But there is actually a psychology to setting up lines. So I told her, I said, you need to put the salad down here. Put the fruit, you know, put the carrots and the celery here, then, you know, put the the lettuce mix, and then put the fruit. And she's like, it's not going to make a difference. I said, it will. Just watch it. And she did, and they ate half of it, whereas before they weren't touching it. And what kids do is they look at it, and generally, if the most popular thing is here, and they go down, and then they come back. So you don't want to put the most popular thing down here, but you also don't want to put the least popular thing down here either, because they're going to go down, and then they're going to come back, and then they're going to go down again because the fruit's down here, and then they're going to get the lettuce mix.
That is, like, crazy psychology right there.
And it works. It's the same on the line. Here, it's the opposite here than it is here, because you don't want to put the most popular things first, because then they won't eat anything else. So then it's like you put the most popular thing down here, because then they go down there, and then they come back here, and then they go down there. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they'll stop here and take that instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
And we've seen that, like, smarter lunchrooms.
Yeah.
Like the way you set up the lunchroom, you know, if you put the more, like, the white milk more visibly, yep. put the oranges more visible, then they do actually make more of those healthy choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So there is a psychology to all of that. And it works. I was amazed when I was to just watch.
It's like all the stores put the candy and all the stuff like to where the kids can
see it. Yeah, right there.
Or like right when you're checking out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, just
so mean for the parents to do that.
But marketing is a thing.
Yes, it is. Even in the cafeteria where you wouldn't think, you know, that it would be, but it is.
Right.
Recipe or just, you know, this is the promotion of the month or
right.
Don't forget you can look at the menus online with your kids.
And we talked about earlier this year, like, how can we help reduce the lunchtime wait? And so part of that is like making sure that parents know what is the menu this week, and then like having a conversation with their kid at home about what are you going to choose when you go to school today? Like, make sure that you pick a vegetable in addition to the cinnamon roll, you know?
We used to look ahead, and then we would get the month ahead. We would plan out what days we were going to have the lunchbox and what days the school menu.
I love that.
We actually, because everything, of course, is... Because everything's digital now, we actually have, you can get an app on your phone, and you can have it set alerts to the days that you want.
And it's called NutriSlice, right? Yeah.
Well, so there's something to put in your newsletter.
NutriSlice is on the website if y'all want
to
check it out.
You can monitor allergies with it. You can set alerts to where you can eat or not eat or whatever. It's, you know.
So it's just like getting the word out there, right? Yeah. So that could certainly go in the newsletters.
Yeah,
I don't, like, I'm not at the school site, so I'm curious to hear, like, Michaela, do you know if parents, like, read those newsletters? Do you know, Sarah?
I think that a lot of them do, but I know a few don't.
Yeah.
I used to...
A certain amount don't, because then we get questions about what we just sent out.
Yeah. What about at Mile High, do you know?
I think it's about the same. Like, yeah. There's parents that do and then there's parents that don't. Yeah.
I used to scan them just to see if there was anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I send out a newsletter for my classroom.
Okay.
That's
like reiterate, but I also only have 7 children that I'm responsible for.
Right.
So it's easier. But I also always add, and I do parent logs, and I'm like, you know, check the email from Mr. Binder about any important information this week.
Right. I wonder how many teachers do their own personal newsletter.
Really,
and then I'd be, most of them.
I know.
For my grade level, I do ours for a grade level.
Okay.
At Mile High, they do it a monthly newsletter by subject.
Okay.
So, gotcha. Social studies does their own, math does their own. But because I'm sped.
Right.
My kids are a little different.
Right. Well, I wonder, what information that Amy and I could get to the teachers would be valuable to, repeat in a teacher newsletter versus, a school-wide newsletter. Because it could be overlooked. But I guess we could just see, if the parents were, if we were seeing any results from just putting it in the school newsletter. But that's definitely an idea. It's a good one.
Doesn't hurt to repeat it.
Maybe a couple times back to school newsletters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always wanted to do the back to school ones, but before you know it, it's October.
Right. Right.
Or April.
Yeah.
Or April.
I feel like I blinked in the school year.
It's
just.
It's. I know. Seriously. Yeah.
Which I'm fine with. I'm ready for a break.
Yeah. Right.
For summer lunch, did you do the grab and go option?
The drive through thing. What did you do last summer?
During COVID.
Yeah. They definitely did during COVID. What did you do last summer? Same thing. You're still on the pickup?
Yeah, because we still had waivers. Did you still have waivers? So we did did curbside here.
Yeah.
Right after breakfast, we would do it for 30 minutes or something like that for breakfast and lunch. And
did you see an increase in a lot of families participating?
No.
No?
Was it a decrease?
Maybe a dozen.
Really.
It started out really small and then it got a little bit bigger, but we only did it here for the 3 weeks of summer school.
Okay. Oh, so it was a dozen during the summer. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
But then they didn't once summer school closed down, they didn't switch over to the YMCA because we feed we do summer school at the YMCA too, so that's our actual site that is normally open to the public, but we didn't see an increase in there. We did saw a little bump here once they caught on that we were still doing curbside. I don't think there's any waivers for this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
it doesn't sound like a not so
yeah, it doesn't
unless
sound
it changes. Yeah.
Yeah, I know they're trying to get funding to where everybody eats so that everybody's provision 1 or 2. But I've just heard rumors about that. So but we're gonna have issues this summer.
I'm curious, what is the
Not necessarily with kids having enough food to eat, but just the locations of summer school because
it's here
and it's at Granite and it's at the high school and I believe it's at Mile High too.
I know for regular summer school for SPED.
Regular summer school.
Because I only really know about SPED and I don't know if they're going to do it at Mile High this year. The entire district sped was at Mile High, but because I'm in that classroom, I don't know if I want summer school there. But I'm not sure about Jen.
Okay.
Yeah. And because we can only feed the kids that are at 50% or higher, the only place we can really feed is here, and then, of course, at the YMCA. And the district is used to us being here. Food.
Yeah.
And we can't. I already have coordinators reaching out to be what are the lunch times at Granite Mountain and the high school? And I'm I can't.
So
I haven't looked at the boundary. I doubt they've changed the boundary maps, but I haven't solidified it and like looked at the boundary map to make sure, but I'm 99.9% sure we won't be able to feed anybody but Lincoln and the YMCA this summer, so that's going to be a bummer.
Like as far as doing education, like that's going
to yeah, so that's what I'm finding with summer this year is the hardest is everybody's used to us just giving them food and
I was just gonna ask. I'm curious, like, what have you noticed as a the school meal participation post COVID, like, so, and post waivers?
Yeah. So our participation is up, not a huge amount. It's not up from COVID.
Yeah.
I believe it's up. Our normal numbers are up slightly. And I think it's because of COVID, because more kids ate.
Yeah.
So that participation is up.
Okay.
Now, as far as how many of those are free and if our free and reduced percentages are higher, it might be a little bit. I know right now Lincoln's sitting at 54%, and I think they're normally at like 52%, so they're up a little bit. Other schools are sitting at like the 20s. You know, high 20s, low 30s.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I noticed that at Taylor Hicks, their free and reduced numbers went down this year. And I have a theory that it might be because of the 21st Century Grant no longer being at that school. So the parents might have sent their kids to a school that offered free after school programming versus a school that doesn't.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that might be one reason why.
Yeah, well, I don't think the enrollment is up as that much here.
I think that the district anticipated a little bit, like they didn't anticipate as much enrollment this year.
Yeah, enrollment isn't up. Enrollment isn't up.
But I think that they were expecting less than we got this school year, and I was told that was because the reason why we all got a bonus this year is because they had leftover money and they thought that money was going towards students that we were going to get enrolled, so it went towards bonuses.
I know Clark sent something out saying that enrollment was up. Because I remember when the board elections were happening, there was a candidate that was like saying, oh, PUSD is actually like their numbers have dropped. Everyone's going to charter because, you know, public school. And then Clark was like, well, actually it's up. And I want to say he said like 3% or something like that.
Okay.
He said that we got a lot of influx from like district, like Chino and Humble, a bunch of those kids.
It's up probably about 300 kids from our.
Yeah, because I noticed that like Lincoln's got like 100 more kids than when I last did a taste test during the pandemic. So it used to be like 220, now it's 320. So yeah, maybe I got it mixed around. Maybe we got a bonus because we got more enrollment. Because with more kids comes more money.
No, I just got a bonus. I
was trying to make sense of it all, but yeah. Well, I'm certainly, like, able to leave the table open for more feedback, more questions. We can certainly keep this conversation going, or we can kind of switch gears. I can lead everyone on a tour of the beautiful garden that Sarah's helped take care of this school year, and we can talk about farm to school and the accomplishments that we've made this year and plans for next year. Does that sound good?
That's great.
And I think it's warmer out now.
Yeah, as long as it's not windy.
I sat out there and it was decent. It wasn't horrible.
I know what I was going to say when I said
45 minutes
ago. just so that you don't think about like when the 21st Century Grant goes away, how that affects, like you think, oh, it's just going to affect, you know, whatever. But then you think like,
it does
parents
impact
need
a lot.
After school programs.
They need daycare.
Yeah, they need daycare. So after school programs are like huge for that.
Yeah. And Sarah Broderick's the queen of the 21st Century Grant.
Should get somewhere
yeah, you should.
My God.
Teaching so many clubs.
Yeah. Yeah, what club do you have going right now?
It's called, what is it called?
What is it?
Music? It's called Board Games and Puzzles.
Oh, okay, good. So they have stuff in it.
I've got goodie bags for you all. Thank you for your participation.
No, but those are great things for kids.
And this
that's
is
what
for
I said
you.
To my
you can't give that to Charmel.
I know, I'm not. I've got.
I was like, she has a million of
I've
those
got
bags.
Special. I know, I've got special ones for you guys because these are actually like gifts from these two. So
you're recycling
yeah.
That's good.
Thank
that's
you so
good.
Much.
Keep
Sarah.
The love
thank
going around.
Aw,
how
sweet.
Thank you.
Really cute.
We're going to use these in our little garden.
Yay. Yes, and there's still plenty of food. We weren't sure how many people were going
to
show up, but take some with you
yeah,
if you can.
Too.
Yes.
Thank you very much. That was so sweet.
All right. Are we ready to head out
yeah.
to the garden? I think
yeah.
that we could
I feel like I should give some of these
way.
Back because I don't need
yeah,
all of them.
You can
okay.
leave them. Yeah, I'll get them. If you want to take
yeah.
anything with you, take it. If you don't.
Oh.
Sure. Or did you?
Yeah,
you're
thank
probably
you.
Going to talk to her, but we're talking about this case.